Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Period, the Evs finally break through. A great shift from the third line, or whatever you want to call it, sets up the top line, and Nathan MacKinnon is able to get one in the net. That would be the last time the Avs would score in this game. You get to the third period, the Avs are holding the lead fairly well. It's a sloppy game, but the Avs aren't giving up a ton until a penalty gets called on Jonathan Drouin, and the Red Wings are able to convert on the power play to win the special teams battle tonight. That gets it to overtime, where the Avs actually do a good job to kill a penalty at the end of regulation and into overtime, only for Nathan MacKinnon to miss a coverage, and the game ends 2-1 Detroit. Tough way to lose for Colorado. If I told you the Avs were going to score one goal and get a point tonight, would you be okay with it?
No.
Okay. Just need better?
Yeah.
All right.
It's becoming the theme of this season. Just need better.
Is 1 point enough for the couch?
It's the caveat of Eustace Onnenen played great.
He did.
And it's the difference of one goal in a 2-1 game that is forced into overtime. So no, they needed to provide more goal support. Eustace Onnenen did everything that they possibly could have asked of him.
Agree.
Yeah, I mean, again, we said it before the game. We're talking about playoff atmosphere. It's do or die for Detroit. That's their game, right? They're in the playoff atmosphere right now. They are fighting for their lives, so to speak, you know, to get in there. So the Avs have to get going. Like, did they play a bad game? No. Was Detroit that much better than them? No. Somehow they could have won that game. I mean, you're 1-0 on the road, with a few minutes left, and you know you should be able to close it out. I do believe refereeing was a little suspect. Not blaming the game on that. I'm saying it does change the tides of the end of the game, right? But you got to bring your pulse, your heart rate up a little more, and that's what's missing with the Avs a little bit these last few weeks. They have to start playing like it's going to be playoff hockey, because I've always said it, I'll say it again, you can't turn the switch on once the playoffs start. You got to turn the switch on now, and you got to be ready to go and play playoff hockey now. And you can't just wait till the end and say, okay, it won't work.
I struggle with this game a little bit. I'm not going to come out here and tell you that the Avs played a great game, because they didn't. But it wasn't a lack of offensive opportunities necessarily. The Avs generated some quality chances. Alex Lyon made some good saves on them. Yep. And the Avs were their own worst enemy at times tonight, I think. As much potentially passing up quality opportunities as much as failing to convert them. But it just feels like it's not good enough. When you have a lead with less than 10 minutes to go in the game, you got to find a way to win those hockey games, regardless of game state or situation in the standings or anything like that. You got to close out games. You got to win hockey games, and you do that by not crumbling the way the Avs did ultimately in this game. when you look at the special teams, obviously the Avs lose the special teams battle tonight. They do give up one power play goal. I want to ask you guys, is the bigger problem here, well, really there's three problems. Is the problem discipline? Is the problem the penalty kill itself? Or is the problem the power play not being able to produce their own goals for Colorado?
Well, you've wisened up because you gave us three options.
Yeah, you can't choose both.
I mean, if you fix one of those three,
you probably win this game.
You win the game.
Yeah.
So did you choose all three?
I'm saying pick one. Pick whichever one you feel the best about.
There's one I'm most unhappy about, and it's the Avs power play, because the penalty kill is going through some changes right now. Logan O'Connor out of the lineup there for a little bit. Vanatushkin out of the lineup right now. That forward then on the PK has been Zach Parise, who is, I think, a responsible defensive player that is still getting acclimated in a lot of ways. Girard and Manson are also becoming the primary guys on the PK. So it's going through some growing pains right now, and I've thought it has looked better the last few games. It's the Avs power play, because that is a unit of five that has played together for the longest amount of time. A lot of those guys are quite familiar with one another, and they're deferring too much. I think that the passes are connecting better than they did when we saw on that recent road trip. But now the issue is the shot selection, or lack thereof. When they are deferring, especially Mikko Rantanen not electing to take the shot, that bothers me the most, because I think there's the most potential for them to convert on the power play. Whereas the penalty kill is what it is. It's a risky opportunity. It's challenging for teams for a reason. And these are teams that stacked up very closely on special teams alongside one another in terms of what Detroit was on the power play, what Detroit was on the penalty kill. And for the Avs to continue to not convert on the power play is a little frustrating, just because of how good the personnel is that's on it.
I'll use the PP again just to add a few more things. It's more, it comes with the territory. The pressure comes with it. The salary comes with it. The level of talent comes with it. They're built that way. We talked about it before the game. Mikko, Nate, Kale. That's why they're on that team. So when you're called upon and you have a power play with whatever it was, 8 minutes to go, like, it needs to convert. It needs to be better. You have to be elite. Those players are elite players. They haven't been elite these last few weeks. And hence you're one goal short again tonight. That's it.
Two things I would say. One, I don't care that they're passing the puck better. It's not the power pass. You got to score goals. It's the only thing that matters. Two, you no longer get the benefit of the doubt as an elite player when you're 2-for-30 in your last 30 power plays.
That's what I'm saying.
You get the benefit of the doubt when you're making it work and goals are going in the net. When it's not working, especially for a length of time as long as 6, 7, 8 games, whatever it is, you got to take a good hard look at that and start doing a better job. You have to figure it out.
Yeah, your quarterback of your top power play unit has 0 points in 7 games.
Yep. That's a problem.
Not 0 points on the power play, although that is also true, but just 0 points. So,
point.
I mean, this is, I guess I need to go back and actually look to confirm it, but I'm just assuming this is the worst stretch of Cale Makar's career without him scoring any points.
A reasonable assumption for sure.
7 games is like, it feels like a lifetime for a guy that talented. And, you know, there's plenty there to be unhappy with Mikko Rantanen about.
Sure.
But Cale Makar is not doing anything for you.
And we'll get into the conversation of Mac and Mikko in this game, but if nothing else, they do produce a goal in this hockey game. Even if they came up short on the power play, even if they came up short in certain areas, they do score a goal, one that Cale Makar is not involved in. And I don't know what's up with Cale right now. I don't know why it's been such a struggle for him. I could speculate, but that would feel pointless. The reality is, he's got to be better. Because it's not just the 0 points in 7 games, I think. We all sit here every game for the last while watching Cale defensively and saying, the puck management's not great.
Yeah, I mean, he fired two pucks in a row at Devon Taves. Or the first one was like,
it wasn't even, it was in his general direction.
Yeah, and like, then when it predictably did not go well and he got a second chance at it, he just flips it up into center ice, and there goes what should have been a clean possession.
Yep.
What in the world is going on with the guy?
I wish I could tell you.
He's never been a guy to shy away from owning up to when he hasn't played very well. But you're talking about over and over and over and over and over. He is coming up short.
It has
on both ends of the ice.
When it's gone on like that, it has stopped becoming a weird one-off. Oh, Cale hasn't been very good. What's going on with Cale Makar right now? I think all of our answers is we're not sure, but he's got to do whatever he's got to do to get back to where he was. It's got to be better than 0 points in seven games, that's for sure. The Avs are built for guys like Cale Makar to produce. It's just the reality of what they are as a team. So, do hope it gets better for Cale.
You have anybody that you're paying $9 million and getting 0 points in seven games. They better be doing something else very, very well, or they better be a freaking goalie.
Which Cale Makar is not.
And has not checked either one of those boxes. He's not a goalie. He's not done anything particularly well in that stretch. It's no coincidence that they are struggling.
Yep.
They're built that way. I mean, you're built that way, but if the foundation is... There's cracks, there's holes in the house, right? I mean, somewhere, like, you got to be better. That's why I was saying, you got to be elite. I was talking about the power play, but their overall game has to be better. I mean, yeah, Mikko gets an assist tonight, but we didn't really see him.
It's a great pass.
It's great. Awesome. But when you play 30 minutes a night, you better make one nice pass. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying.
Hell yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, you know. So
well, and 2-on-1 in overtime, doesn't even get the pass through to Ross Colton.
It's a little—it's not enough. It's not enough. And I think Cale would be the first guy to admit it, too, about his game. He's not the guy that's going to point fingers. I think he'd be the first guy to say, hey, I'm—and he said it on this past road trip, right? Starts with me. And I think that he's going through a funk. He's going to get out of it. And once he does, he'll be better for it. I mean, that's the only cliche answer I can give right now on, you know, he's just going through it. He's in one right now.
I don't want to go as far as saying the Avs should give Cale a night off, but is there something the Avs can do to shelter him a little bit, limit the minutes a little bit, lighten the load a little bit, or is it genuinely just to keep playing that guy until it gets better?
You know, what's interesting about him is the change with the PK and having Manson and Girard become the primary guys seemed like part of that change, but his minutes aren't necessarily being lessened. He's still finishing with the most ice time of anybody on the team. And when you ask Cale about it, he would tell you he's not even sure, based on his play lately, that he deserves to have those minutes allocated any differently. So I think the PK is sort of an attempt at addressing that usage specifically on the PK, but his minutes are still the highest of anyone on the team. And I'm not sure then that there's a world where Jared Bednar would actually play Cale Makar a little bit less. Even over this rough stretch of games, he's still one of the most valuable players on the ice. And it's a hard world to live in then, because of what he is. And even in a game like tonight, he still does some things well.
Sure.
And I don't want to use this as the segue to be critical of Mikko Rantanen, so I'll wait for that. But
you can if you want. Go for it.
Through two periods, Mikko Rantanen doesn't register a single shot attempt. Not even a shot on net. Not even an attempt. He has, obviously, this all-world pass on the lone goal that gets scored in this game. And that's the difference then on the score sheet from Makar and Rantanen coming out of it. But you see the creation attempt on Makar's side of things throughout the game, as well as the commitment to things defensively, because that's also his role. He doesn't have necessarily the best shift on the power play goal against, which is tough to see, but it's also proportionately the usage for Kale and seeing that he's still trusted in all of these situations because the heart is there. Whereas in what you guys talked about in the last post game with apathy and Miko, that even with the point tonight still remains a concern for me that I'm frustrated by.
The problem with Miko is very similar to what we talk about the Avs power play as a whole, right? He's defending himself. And look, he's the greatest passer ever, whatever, fine. He makes awesome passes, cool. Every single time he touched the puck tonight, Detroit looked at him, and realized he wasn't going to shoot the puck, and so they just let him stand there.
Yeah, why does Nathan MacKinnon have 11 shots on goal?
Because Miko had one?
Yeah, you're not looking at Jonathan Drouin and going, why aren't you shooting?
It's fair.
That's not a guy that you can't, you're asking to score goals.
Yep.
He might not, Jonathan Drouin might not score another goal this season, and depending on how he plays, you might just be fine with that.
Yep.
Because that's not his game. That's not what he's doing. Mikko Rantanen had 55 goals last year and has long been Colorado's best pure goal scorer. He's got the best shot. He's got the best variety of shot. He can a one-timer, a wrist, a snap, a backhand. Whatever you do to score goals, Mikko does it better than anybody else on the Avalanche other than just deflecting it. And somehow you're talking about Detroit's defense is looking at him, especially on the penalty kill, and just
letting him stand there.
All right, man. He drifts back to the wall. He gets the puck, and he goes back to the wall.
Yep.
Makes no attempt to shoot it.
And
doesn't step into it. He's not attacking. There's no attack mentality there. There's no aggression. There's no confidence. How in the world are you Mikko Rantanen coming off a 55-goal season and acting like this?
The problem for me is, look, there are games where sometimes it happens and you're not just put in situations to be able to shoot the puck. Sure, it's hockey. Sometimes they defend you well. Tonight, there were multiple opportunities where it's like, Miko, just shoot the puck, dude. You have the open net, shoot at it, or the open shooting lane at very least. And he instead tries to make some absurd play where he defers to someone else and it doesn't work. Is Miko skilled enough to make those plays? Sometimes, sure. But sometimes you just have to do it yourself. You become too easy to defend when you are not taking open looks, at least some of the time. You have to shoot the puck some of the time to keep teams honest.
Mikko Rantanen is an all-world playmaker.
Yep.
The guy is a fantastic passer. He's got great vision. He's got incredible creativity. He sees things that I'm not even sure that he truly realizes are there. Sometimes I think he's on a higher,
unconscious
plane.
Stuff going on.
Exactly. He's in the astral realm sometimes when he's doing cute stuff, and sometimes it works, and it's all good and well. But the guy, this is an extended stretch now where we have been increasingly frustrated with it. He's become so passive.
Yep.
So passive, and it's just this is not an effective all-world player. If he was not stapled alongside Nathan MacKinnon, he wouldn't be producing.
There.
He just would not be. The production wouldn't be there because a lot of people will just wave off his, it's fine, he's ninth in the league in scoring or whatever. But it's like, how is it coming? Where does it, how does that sausage get made? And right now it's, I give puck to Nate, Nate do crazy shit. The power play especially has become almost completely dependent upon, hey, Nate, go do something awesome.
When Miko plays the half wall, you're virtually cutting the ice in half. Miko's side of the ice is just dead.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it goes with what I was saying earlier. You have playoffs. It always has to be about playoffs. It does. It does, because that's how you win, right? But we always talk about players, and it's been years, and it's not going to change for the next hundreds of years. There's another level that you have to reach. And right now, for example, if we're talking about me, he's not reaching that level. He's just out there. And parts of that, AJ's going to laugh when I'm going to say, like, and you want to help your power play out a little bit, then, hey, listen, I played with incredible players. Sakic, Forsberg, Gretzky, like, no one stayed 2 minutes on the power play. I'm sorry. I've never seen that. So yeah, you can stay there 2 minutes and then you get caught and then it's almost a 3 minute shift. And when you're standing up like this and lollygagging a little bit, if you're really bearing down, you're bringing up that notch that we're talking about. Like, it's physically impossible to stay for two and a half minutes. You're gonna die. I'm telling you, you're gonna pass out on the ice. You can't. It's physically impossible. So instead of managing right now your pulse, your heart rate, how about you guys go hard for 45 seconds, see what happens. Because you have world-class talent, and then you'll get out of your funk. You won't get out of your funk by waiting, taking yourself out, like all the points that everyone's making, you know? You'll get out of your funk. Someone's going to say, like, oh, he still has points. I understand that. You said, I mean, you play with Nate, you play with, I mean, 30 minutes a night. I mean, somehow you're going to get points. Like, anybody in the world will get points. And I love him. He's my favorite winger in the NHL. So, but right now it's not enough. And in order to get, you strap your boots, you tie your skates, you tie your chin strap, and you go to work. It's very simple.
I wanted to share a funny moment from the locker room with Mikko the other day. Coming out of that road trip, I asked if he had been hurt coming out of that New York game, and he laughed at me because he said, there's no injury, I'm fine. And I think, one, that's important to clarify that he is definitely not hurt right now.
Yep.
And perhaps the implication that he's looked like he could be hurt was funny to him. Like, hopefully he took that home and felt small offense. Like, this reporter thought I've been playing injured and I'm perfectly fine. I hope that is something he thought about, though, because ruling out injury then, it is pretty inexcusable, though. And I love Mikko Rantanen. I think he is such a skilled player, and I think he has a lot of heart. Generally, he's just been a little apathetic lately.
Yep.
And I think the one thing about the Makar-Mikko thing that strikes me as very different between the two is you see Makar struggling through it.
Yep.
You see him shooting his way through it. You see him playing his way through the struggles.
He's trying to make plays.
He's doing all the things that he normally does when he's successful. He's just not executing at the same level that we've seen from him in his career to produce those points.
Whereas Mikko's deferring.
Mikko's just a ghost.
Yep.
He's just a ghost.
And the one thing I do want to mention here, and this goes back to something Eric says a lot, the reason Mikko gets so scrutinized for this is because he is the guy the Avs have got. He is the guy that the Avs need to win. The Avs are built with him in mind to succeed. So if he's not showing up, it's a lot different than the Avs Colton O'Connor Wood line, who didn't produce offense tonight. They had great opportunities but weren't able to finish. Well, yeah, they're third-line guys. That's what you expect out of them. Of Mikko, you need it to be there. It's not he can take a month off and the Avs will be fine. No! The Avs are where they are in part because of Miko's struggles.
And he's top 10 in scoring. Yeah, because he's that good. He's that good for all the reasons, right?
Yep.
And you go back to O'Connor and Wood, those guys, like, they didn't score tonight, but they had that big shift there. It created that momentum
create the
trip.
Absolutely.
Next thing you know, they're on the bench. And then Nate scores at the end of the day on the bench. Trust me, you know it. You're looking at that line, and everyone says it on the bench. Hey, that's you guys' goal. Sure, they didn't score. Sure, they didn't get the plus. Sure, they're on the bench. But they're the ones that created that momentum for the star player to get on the ice and Mikko to make a star play to, you know, Nate. And then all of a sudden, score the only goal that the Avs scored tonight. But you're right. You get scrutinized. It comes with the territory. You are at the top of the league. You are. It's every night. It's 82 games a year plus playoffs. And that's why I said to you guys, like, all the time, and I, again, I'm older. I compare to Sakic Forsberg. I always thought, like, because I was in it with these guys, and I saw them, the pressure that they had. Boy, did they deliver. And for the most part, Nate, Kale, Mikko, they do deliver. That's why they've had success the last 3, 4, 5 years, right? But when it's not enough in stretches of, you know, 6, 7, 8 games, then it's okay to be called out on it. You know what I mean? That because it comes with the territory. That's why, again, it's not about money, but it is a salary cap era, and that they are built this way with the top-end elite guys. Yeah, that Ross Colton hasn't scored, let's say, in 5, 6 games. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, we don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
I care.
But you know what I mean. I used the wrong guy.
If Ross Colton hasn't scored in five games and Mikko Rantanen hasn't scored in five games, you care a whole lot more about Mikko than you do Ross.
That's it. Exactly.
Mikko's got all kinds of assists, though, because he gets to just pass the puck to MacKinnon, and Ross Colton is passing the puck to Miles Wood and Logan O'Connor.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just a little different world. It's no offense intended, of course, but one of those guys is the highest paid player in the league, and the other guys are combined $3.6 million.
It's part of the puzzle. That's how the puzzle is made.
Eric was talking about how it's not about money. It is about money when you're betting on Bet365. Go get your bets in. I did at least hit the Eustace over on saves tonight, so at least I hit something, even at the Avs. On the road, you might just want to bet against them at this point. They're now a sub-500 team on the road after tonight. Jesus. So, not great, Bob, but you can go in with Bet365. Download their app. Use the DNVR365 code now. Put in $5. Bet $5 on an NHL game. You get $150 in bonus bets just for signing up with that DNVR365 code. Go jump on it today. You can bet against the Avs, like I said. You can bet on any other hockey team. I think New Jersey got blown out again tonight, so maybe bet against them. That seems like a good bet lately.
Nice.
What?
I said nice.
Nice. All right.
Sunk in New Jersey.
With Bet365, of course, you can bet on your other sports, too. You can bet on spring training, if that's your thing. Basketball's out there. I don't know. There's probably some weird football league that I've never heard of that plays football right now. Go get on it. Use Bet365 and the DNVR365 code when you do. Of course, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. And then when you watch the Avs and they do this and it makes you want to drink, chill out with the Coors Light. Go get yourself a Coors Light to relax a little bit. Even if you're a little bit hot-headed, the mountains that are blue will help chill you out when it comes to the Coors Light. Sometimes you got to find it where you can find it, and the Coors Light is where I can find it right now. So even if you have a lot going on, you always got to find time to relax a little bit, and that's when a Coors Light is there for you to pick up. Go find it. Go enjoy it. After an Avs loss or an Avs win, it can be the thing that hits the spot. It's literally made to chill, as I mentioned, with the Blue Mountains on the bottle or the can. Go join them. You can also, you don't even have to go get Coors Light. You can get it delivered right to you with CoorsLight.com/DNVR, where Instacart can send you a Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Let's talk about the positives of this game. Let's talk about the three stars of this game tonight, because there was some quality play on the ice for the Avs, starting with our third star, who I believe has been on four of these five graphics that we've done so far, in Bowen Byram.
Yeah, this wasn't a meme. I actually thought Byram was great tonight. I loved how much he activated offensively. It would have been fantastic had he been able to finish on the breakaway in overtime. But that he even got out there in overtime was a testament to how well he had played in this game. We have seen him in overtime at other times this season, and it has not been so great. But that, I mean, he had the opportunity. He just doesn't finish it. Yeah. Defenseman on breakaways, you know how it be. So, you know, I just thought with Byram, this is really continued a strong run from him.
Is this the silver lining for all of Cale Makar's struggles that we've seen? It took maybe a little longer than we had hoped, but the rise of Bowen Byram back to a level of play that we've been asking from him?
I'm laughing because of the body switching theory that AJ had about Jack Johnson and
maybe Cale. It was Bo.
And the reason it cracks me up is because of what Bo's been able to do in this resurgence while playing alongside Jack Johnson, who also, I think, has been elevated in Byram's game, also improving. And, you know, at even strength, he finishes the best Corsi 4 percentage of anyone on the team. So not only does it speak to the possession game he's activating off the rush, but it also speaks to making better decisions defensively, which is where there was the biggest concern for Byram. And I think that it is all a reflection of his confidence building. And I don't know that that has any relation to Makar, but it's at least good timing, because now what we're seeing in Girard and Manson is really cool, and then Byram and Johnson are now especially viable. It is a great time for it to happen. It's just a shame. It seems to be at the expense of Cale Makar.
Can I tell you how in love I am with this body swapping theory, given that Bowen Byram is now playing on his offside, that Cale Makar, a righty, would be better at?
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying.
How do we fix this without ruining Byram?
Well, here's what I'll say about Bowen. I agree with your picks there, 4 out of 5, whatever it is. Like, it's about time, right? I mean, like, it hasn't been good all year. Now, we talked about Frank the Tank before the game. The Avs did keep a point, so they are streaking point-wise, right? You know, that's 3 games in a row with a point. But Bo Byron is Frank the Tank right
neat.
Now streaking. You know what I mean? Like, what's that?
Said neat.
Frank the Tank, Bo Byron, now it's time. Now he needs to streak this for the next 25. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. That's, again, you're talking about reaching your potential and everything. Yeah, it's awesome. It's a nice little sample size right now. And I'm not being negative by any means. I love Bo Byron. But, yeah, it's time. Now. But now you've played 3, 4, 5 good games in a row. Then you got to play the next 20, 25 good games in a row. You know what I mean? Because he's missed the mark a little bit. So I agree with your choice tonight, you know, on the star.
Star number 2. Nathan MacKinnon, this one might end up being a little bit more complicated, but at the end of the day, he scored the Avs' only goal of the game.
It's not. He scores their only goal. He has 11 shots on goal. He's the offensive engine for the entire team in this game. Does he not pick up his guy in 3v3 in overtime? Yeah. How many times have I said on this podcast over how many years that Nathan MacKinnon sucks in 3v3? Everybody thinks he's going to be fantastic because he's so fast and he plays with all the power and he's so skilled. But the second he doesn't have the puck, his brain just does not handle 3-on-3. There's too much space. There's too much responsibility. He's not good at it. That doesn't negate all the other good things that he does.
I agree.
The other 2 stars on his team are not helping him. And now he's trying to shoulder the load of 3 superstars. That's why he has 11 shots on goal. It's not because he was so incredible on his own. It's because he sees the 2 guys that are standing there in Makar and Rantanen and going, I'm not getting any help from these guys. I've got to do this now. Mikko keeps giving me the goddamn puck back. And like, it worked for the 1 goal. That's not enough. It's not enough. So yeah, I thought MacKinnon was great tonight. Is it too bad that he loses his guy in 3-on-3 and that's the game-winning goal? Yeah, that sucks. Bowen Byram should score on a breakaway before that. Mikko Rantanen should not make a shitty
honestly,
pass on a 2-on-1 to Ross Colton. Win it before it gets to that point, because Nathan MacKinnon is who he is. He always sucks in that format. It has been this way forever.
Well, I'll second that, and I'll tell you, because I can tell you I'm not the only guy in hockey that will say what I'm going to say. Like, I don't pay any attention on production at 3-on-3. It's not hockey. It doesn't exist. It's in the playoffs, that stuff doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. 3-on-3 is not hockey. It's for the fans. It's a little skills competition. It's what it is. It's not. Now, do I agree with you that he struggles at 3-on-3? Yes. You know what I mean?
Struggles is putting it lightly.
But the
dude has lost them.
Yeah.
So many games in overtime over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
He has been the main culprit.
Yeah. But that's
so many brain farts have cost them games in overtime. He's just bad at it. But he's Nathan MacKinnon. You can't not play him.
But again, what I'm trying to tell you is the beauty of it is come playoff time, that does at 3-on-3 does not exist.
It doesn't matter.
There's a reason it doesn't exist, because when they passed that rule back then, everybody was like, yeah, it's all great. Yeah, it's so exciting. You're on top of your seats. I know it's fun. Like, I get it. You know, there's a couple guys in Montreal. They're not making the playoffs, but boy, are they good in freaking 3-on-3, though, right? I mean, but it doesn't result in making playoffs or winning in playoffs. So for me, Nathan MacKinnon, like, the beauty of it is it is what it is. It doesn't exist a few weeks from now. It doesn't exist. Doesn't count. 3-on-3 does not count. It's not hockey.
Just adding to the Nathan MacKinnon second star, it's emphasizing how great of a game Alex Lyon had tonight.
I think Nathan
MacKinnon would have found the back of the net more than once if Alex Lyon hadn't been playing so well.
Lyon made multiple great saves tonight. There's no doubt about that. I did not want to make this a Nathan MacKinnon is bad segment. It's not.
No, Nathan
MacKinnon is the Avs' best player by a mile right
now. Best player in the league. Yeah,
it's not even close.
Yeah.
Best player in the league.
That's why I made him the second star, man. The guy is phenomenal. He made the bad mistake in overtime. And you know what? It's also a sick play by Dylan Larkin and a great finish by Patrick Kane. But it's just like, and you're right. 3-on-3, it's
a gimmick.
The Dallas Stars have learned this the hard way over the last few years. All the points they rack up in the regular season in overtime, they get into the playoffs and they lose a bunch of games in overtime, and then they go home.
Hey, for the record, the Avs could have won this game in OT. I still would have told you it's a gimmick, 3-on-3. So it's nothing. It's not being a sore loser.
It's nice to have someone on the team here for the 3-on-3 gimmicks, all right? I know I'll say I'm fine with ties and you'll hate me, but we can move
on.
Buddy,
I'm with you.
No, really? Let's go.
They're un-American. Both of you, knock it off.
Well, he's not American, so that adds up.
Yeah, it's fine. He's allowed that take. You are not. You are a traitor, sir.
Is it exciting? It's exciting. But I don't have to agree.
First star of the game, there shouldn't be any doubt about this guy. Eustace Annington played an unbelievably good game for Colorado tonight.
Yeah. Guy was awesome. No help.
Yep.
No help.
Genuinely, this a lesser goalie in net, and the Avs lose this game 3-4-1. Like,
well, it's just technique. He's a real goalie. He just needs time. He needs more games. We all know that. You know what I mean? And but you saw tonight his technique. He's on top of the blue. He is a big goaltender, but he is a technical goaltender. You know what I mean? Which is rare. You see that. There's not many out there like that. You know, Vasilevskiy, maybe big technical athletic. You know, there's other guys that are big, but they can't push. You guys make fun of me all the time. Like, they're not very good technically, you know? This guy's a good technical goalie. And I think you saw it tonight. You saw it tonight. You'll see what's ahead there in the future. They have a great prospect in Eustace Annington, and you saw it tonight. It was probably his best example ever.
Don't get to overtime without that save he makes on Compress.
Awesome.
6 seconds to
six
play.
Seconds. Awesome. And if that goes in, we are having a meltdown on this podcast about the Cavs get 0 points out of this game.
I feel like I'm already having a meltdown. I'm just shouting at Eric about stuff.
And this is like half of
what
it would have been.
The same thing. At least we're agreeing.
Megan, you've been beating the drum for Annington for a long time down in the AHL. Is this the progress steps that need to be made for him? I think we've all come to the conclusion that the Avs are probably going to go out and get a guy for this playoff run, but are these the steps that put Annington in a position to become the backup in Colorado eventually?
Absolutely. And it stunk the way his year shook out, having such a good camp and then getting injured and not really seen much before this point, except for some difficult games on the road.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like he's really been getting the short end of the stick in that regard. And tonight, this is what I expect from him, because at the American League level especially, he faces a lot of traffic. And Detroit leads the shots battle in the second and the third.
Yep.
Avs are obviously still controlling possession, but Detroit is pushing, and that is a team with NHL caliber offensive weapons, to include what we saw in the final 7 seconds of the game. And Annington was seeing the puck well, whether at distance or in close with tons of bodies at the crease. That was what I liked about his game, is he looked a lot more sure of himself and his ability to see the puck instilled a lot more confidence in me. And that's why I thought there was just not much more Eustace could have done in this game.
He was squared. He was set on shots. He was not guessing. I'll use Boots' lines all the time because I was watching that tonight. He was reading the release perfectly. He was. And then every shot, he was under control. He was battling. And when he had to make that save, like on Comfort, which was to be an acrobat a little bit, he did. Was set, let go, right? Be the acrobat, make the save. It was beautiful to watch tonight.
We said in the pregame, we'd love to see Annington have two or less. Guess what? He did that.
Did his job.
You can't get a win in the NHL when you give up two goals, one in regulation.
Exactly.
Yeah. You look at the guy, you look at every one of the guys in front of you, and you're like, you guys are buying me dinner.
Yep.
Like, F that.
Yep. It's not complicated. With Annington in particular, I think you look at this hockey game and you say, hey, for the first time this season,
you feel like you might have confidence in your second guy.
I mean, first time all season, maybe you have confidence in your first guy, too.
That's also fair.
Like, you've given up one goal in regulation in each of the last two games. You should feel pretty good about that. The fact that you only got 3 or 4 points is definitely a minor disappointment. Exactly. Megan's face is perfect for that. It's sad face.
Look, at least we get to talk about different problems than the goaltending, at least. That makes me, in a sick, twisted way, a little bit happy.
Finally.
On that note, this podcast is brought to you by us. Join us for our last takeover of the season on March 8th, trade deadline day. The Avs are taking on the Minnesota Wild. We are taking over Ball Arena that day as well. It's going to be a long day for us, but you guys get to have a good old time. Come hang out with us, take a bus to the game, get yourself some free beers, enjoy the game, and then come back to the bar. It's going to be a blast. We'll talk to all of you about all of the new players that the Avs got, I'm sure.
So many new players, like 4 or 5 of them, easily.
Either way, get your tickets to the takeover over at the events page on thednvr.com. Also, even on non-takeover days, come hang out. Bar is popping tonight, as they say. A lot of people here for the Avs-Nuggets doubleheader. So come have a good time down at the DNVR bar. Come hang out. Come say hello if you see us. We'll always chat you up and talk a little bit of hockey. Also brought to you by the folks over at American Financing. Look, everybody needs to save a little bit of money these days, and American Financing can save you up to $854 a month. With interest rates currently in the fives, now is a great time to do it. So go get with them. How they work is they eliminate a bunch of high-interest credit card debt, which can save you tons. That $850 a month, that adds up to over $10,000 a year. So that's a great chunk of change, and they may be able to get you approved for your loan in as little as 10 days. So they get it done real quick for you. They're licensed in all 50 states, so you can get with them anywhere in the U.S. Call American Financing, and you may be able to even delay your next two mortgage payments. Call today. Let them know DNVR sent you over there at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. Or go to AmericanFinancing.net/DNVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I don't have a ton else to add on this. You already talked about the overtime. It is what it is. I think the Avs actually deserve a lot of credit for killing that penalty at the end of regulation and through the start of overtime. But ultimately, you come up a little bit short because Nathan MacKinnon is the guy he's been his entire career.
Well, you don't finish.
And MacKinnon had one of those opportunities as well.
Mikko Rantanen can't get a pass even across to Ross Colton on a clear 2-on-1. Bowen Byram doesn't score on a breakaway.
Yep.
MacKinnon doesn't score. Like, you had chances. They just executed where you didn't. You don't look at it like, oh, we got run in overtime. You didn't. You had great opportunities to win the game, and you just didn't. And that's how hockey goes sometimes. I would like to add, there have been, reading through some of the meltdowns in chat tonight, people upset about the top line getting hemmed in their own zone.
Not accurate.
I will say I have a lot of problems with how that top line plays defensively most nights. But tonight, actual shots on goal, that line had an 11-6 advantage, a 1-0 goal advantage, 9-2 scoring chance advantage, and 5-2 high danger chance advantage. So
did, like, all right in that regard.
Execution, the finish, that's where it is. It was just the finish. They created all kinds of things. My problem is that it's too singular around
Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, around Nathan MacKinnon. So the Avs got bodied in the third period. Again, this is not true. Shot attempts in 13-48 of 5v5 time in the third period. Shot attempts were 18-9. Actual shots on goal somehow ended up 7-5 for the Red Wings. The Avs had an 8-6 scoring chance advantage and a 4-2 high danger chance advantage. So your feelings are not working out here. The problem was is that the Avs just kept taking penalties.
And if you have a problem with the discipline, totally.
Yeah, you should have a problem. I also have a problem with the fact that that's not holding on Logan O'Connor.
That was a tough call.
That guy's falling down. That's not holding. What is he doing? Holding a guy who's halfway to the ice already? Give me a break. Give me a break. All right, I'm done. Y'all do what you need to do.
I don't have a ton else to take away from this. Before we get to Super Chats, though, I am curious from you guys.
No.
Avs are 3-5.
on this last 10-game segment, the 8 games of this 10-game segment so far. They've won their 2 home games. What's the secret? How do they bring the success they've had at home on the road? And I know that's not an easy question to answer.
I don't even think, when asked directly, they have an answer for why this seems to be happening, but it feels a little bit related to pride. There's a lot of pride playing at home in front of the home crowd, and they're struggling to start games on time on the road. And I don't even know that that's necessarily the case in tonight's game, but it's just been an issue of emphasis to details and execution for the Owls on the road. It's like they're a little more dialed into those details when they get to sleep in their own beds, and so I'm not sure if they need to start bringing pillows with them on the road and making themselves more comfortable, but they got to figure something out. They seem at a loss for what the real issue is.
Here's what I'll say. Like, you get in that pattern, you get in that rut, and they had that streak at the start of the season. Remember from last year, and then all of a sudden they were like breaking records on the road or whatever it was, and then they hit that snag. And since then, I'll go back to my, just elevate your game a little more. And on the road, you have to, because you don't have the matchups. When you play 25 to 30 minutes a night, it's a different game on the road. You are playing against every shift, against the top end guys, the top pair guys, the guys that are going to shut you down. At home, you can get away from that. And it is a fact. You'll get a few shifts like, oh, it's an icing against the fourth line. Woo-hoo-hoo. You know, when you're the best player in the league and you're one of the best players in the world, it's an easy cupcake shift. It's a cupcake shift that it's like, it's not fair. It's not fair because they're that much better than the average player in the National Hockey League. So on the road, you have to elevate your game. You have to elevate your heart rate a little more because you have to dig deep a little more. I feel that. And I'm not just blaming the top guys. I'll give praises to the top guys all the time. But right there, there's the difference. You know what I mean? And is it like that all the time? No. But most games, if you look back on the road when they've come up short, like, it's probably one of the main reasons. And then Rudo was asking his question, like, anything else to add? And that's what I was looking right here. You know, if you look at when they scored their goal to tie it up, it was using what? Their power play, right? Yeah. Larkin scores. And it's at 12:02 of the third. And then a minute later, the Avs get their power play. And you know how much I respect numbers. I love it because I'm learning so much from you guys. But there's also the fact that the timing of when you produce is so important. You know what I mean? And right there on that power play, I don't care what you've been doing the rest of the freaking game, first, second period, you needed to get more high danger chance and convert on one of them. And that's what timing is, right? Right? I mean, we agree with that. So I would say that's what's missing a little bit there. And that's what I'm mostly disappointed on, because those guys are so clutch. Usually, right now, they're not clutch at the right time.
Need a little bit more clutch. They got to drive a manual, I guess. That's the... because you don't have a clutch on an automatic. Okay.
Oh, and again, I'll go. Hey, let's go back to 1 second. What we talked about before the three, just 2 seconds. The three keys before the game.
Go off, yeah.
Nuggets have taken the lead by 2. It is 6-4. It's 6-4, ladies and gentlemen.
They're late in the game. It's actually there's a decent scoring.
They're winning by 25.
That's a lot.
Sarcasm. What I'm gonna say is, remember the games within the game.
Yeah,
they lost the face-off percentages. They did.
They lost the special teams.
I'm just saying. It is a big deal. They lost what? Goalie save percentage. As good as he was, line was better. And then they lost the special teams battle. So if you're talking about the games within the game that you have to do on the road, on three of important ones, they went 0-3. You know, and it's hard to blame Eustace. I'm not blaming Eustace. I'm saying, but that's the story of the game too. The other guy was good too.
Give me the special teams battle and you win the game.
That's, again, you can't go 0-3. That's what I'm saying.
I might even simplify it more than that, man. If you score one more goal in this game, you win. And that's on the special teams. It doesn't have to be on, at any point in the 64 minutes of this hockey game.
It just would have been easier.
You score one more goal, you win.
Would have taken that Bowen Byron breakaway. That would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
Would have been cool. Would have made sense. You would have felt good about it. Would have been like, hey, there's two standings points, and Bowen Byron's sick again, you know.
Unfortunately, that was not the case. There were a few leaks in the roof, so make sure you get to Red Hawk Roofing. Check, you think Red Hawk Roofing would do arenas? You think they'd go check the Pizza Palace for leaks in the roof? I don't know if they do that, but I know they'll take care of you here in Colorado. The best roofers in the state. You can go to redhawkroofing.com today. They'll give you a free inspection. They'll come out. They'll get up on your roof. They'll take pictures. They'll tell you what's going on up there. Hopefully, there's nothing wrong and you're good to go. But if there is something wrong, they can get it all fixed up for you. And the coolest part is they do emergency services, too. So they're available 24/7 to come out, go fix your roof. If something happens in the middle of the night or whatever, they've got your back. Redhawkroofing.com. Go get with them. Get your roof inspected today. And then, once your roof is all good and running, you're going to want to put a television up in that house underneath the roof and get Fubo TV on it. FuboTV.com/DNVR. Go check it out. Go get it with the QR code on screen today. You can get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Once you've got Fubo Pro rocking, you got the abs, you got the nuggets, you got live television, including shows, movies, news, and more, over 140 different channels. You got 1,000 hours of DVR included. So even if you miss the game, you can record it and you'll have it right there on your TV to watch. It's the best way to get your Colorado sports right now. FuboTV.com/DNVR to get that 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Super chats. We got a couple of them today. WB with the $5 says another Miko sleeper. Is it time to break up the first line and see if Miko can get his mojo back? Replace him with his fellow countrymen?
Sounds great.
I'm down to try whatever at this point. No complaints. It's got to be, you got to get more out of the guy somehow. $2 from Vaguely Sober, who says a 933 for Eustace League. Offense failed to assemble. Yep. I don't know how you can't feel anything but good about the Avs goaltending of late. The two goals that beat them are both directly from the slot. So, played pretty well. $5 from Dan, who says Miko needs to become a moose, not remain a calf. Call it whatever you want. It's got to be better. I'm in agreement. And then $5 from Banks, who says, I've never yelled at the TV more than I have at Miko the past 3 weeks. Anyways, love y'all. Good abs? Go abs? Who knows? Thank you for the super chats. We appreciate that, everybody. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up and go do hours of more work on this stupid hockey game? No?
No.
All right.
It's not going to be hours, man. This is going to be
a 45 minutes.
40 to 45 minutes. Yeah.
Go.
A lot of content getting up before midnight tonight. That's the way this one's going to go. Keep it locked to the DNVR.com to see our post game from Angley's Angle, our studs and duds from AJ. I'll have a video review out on YouTube. Like and subscribe this one, too, if you want to help support us. We appreciate y'all. Head over to Spotify if you're more of the listener type. We're on there, too. We are out of here, and we will be back tomorrow for another off-day show. We will see you there.
We all silly like the mayor.